I've been doing a lot of good magic tricks. I left my bag in the Uber taxi here just now, so my wife is going out to wait for the driver, and you can pray for him because I know that my wife is sharing the gospel with him. Amazing. Guess that's why I left it, huh? It's worth a good tip. Okay. It's great to... Oh, I better set my timer here because Nathan said 30 minutes. Good. Okay. So it'll work if I do it? Okay. Thank you. Boy. I better set my timer because Nathan has strict... He gave me strict directions, and there's a strict punishment, too. So I won't tell you what it is. Okay. So thank you for the wonderful worship. It's great to sing God's the Christmas songs. We've been in Taiwan here, so we sing the songs in Chinese, which is great, but it's also nice to sing them in English as well. So thank you for leading us in worship. And it's great to be here today. Can everyone hear me? To the very back ends of the earth there? Okay. So let me try this out because... I just press forward, Nathan?
Yeah,
you may have been out. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Well, that does it. Okay. So it's great to see a diverse group here this morning. You can recognize maybe who that is. Are there any people from the UK here? Okay, wow, a few. So you know about coronations a little bit. A year and a half ago, our friend invited us to watch the coronation of, King Charles. And I was like, in my heart, I was like, I don't know if I really want to go. It's not something that I'm really into. But actually, I went with my wife to our friend's home, and I was really interested, actually, pleasantly surprised. It was really fascinating. You know, I'm American. We broke away from all the kings and the queens and all. But I found, wow, I can see why some people are still sort of fascinated by that. And there's a sense of majesty, a lot of rituals, some, as you know, more than me, that have been going on for hundreds of years and maybe even over 1,000 years for some of them. And then to see the king, the coronation, and all the excitement of the time. Wow, I was really impressed. Of course, after that, you know, come all the complaints. Maybe complaints, well, he believes this, or I don't like this policy he supports, things like that, which I have some differing views as well. But I was very interested. And it brought me to think about the coronation psalm that we're talking about today, Psalm 2. It's called a messianic psalm and also a coronation psalm, the coronation of the king. So actually, as Nathan shared that I was going to share on this, I was like, wow, this is a great psalm to preach on. So that's what we're going to look at today. And, this way. As you see, look at that. I like basketball too. Is that a... Here you go. As you can see, it goes right into business here. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? That seems like quite a strange way to begin a psalm, just right in your face here. And as I was studying this, I found that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 actually are probably very closely connected. When they made the chapters and verses before that, these were probably seen by most scholars as together. Because you see before that in Psalm 1 that most people know about the blessed man. The blessed man is a singular, and it's the blessed man who walks in the counsel of God's ways. And then this blessed man, he meditates on the Lord's word day and night. So, and then it talks in plural about the wicked at the end of Psalm 1. And then suddenly the wicked continue with this behavior. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? So that's a good question, isn't it? We see that all around us today. We see raging and we see protests and we see anger and violence, terrible things happening. And I think we're in end times, you know. And so we're seeing this, I think, more than usual, although it's been happening for the ages, ever since the beginning. Adam and Eve, what was their first temptation? Anyone want to throw it out, show their biblical knowledge? Oh, Lottie, wow. Okay, Lottie. That's right. Okay, thank you, Lottie. That is great. Yeah. And I think now you need to come up and do the sermon, Lottie. You know more than me. So that was the temptation, and that they would be as gods, be like gods, their own gods, right? That was the first temptation of Adam and Eve. And you can see, it works. I don't know, that seems a little dark, but there's the hand of Eve. It's a little more feminine, and then the man, Adam. I'm an equal opportunity, you know, have a view there. Not just Eve, I'm not just going to blame it on Eve, okay? Men had a part in that too, connecting together with this sin. But you notice too, I always complain because I've lived in Asia so long. It's like the apple. Come on, I like apples, but don't you know mangoes are the fruit that was given? I mean, don't you believe me? I believe it. Okay. Well, we've seen from the time of the very beginning, it started a rage, a kind of deception to go our own way. And then, oh, sorry. I have to go back one. Sorry. I'll get it right. Okay. And then the Tower of Babel. Before that was Noah and his ark and all the rebellion against God then. And God saying he regretted in Scripture he had even made man, a sense of sadness. And then the Tower of Babel, what was that temptation? It was like, let's come together and let's make a name for ourselves, but apart from God. And they came together. Do you notice when people come together, they connive more? You know, one person can be a disaster in the way they can harm people, but when you get many people together, that can be a total destructive kind of behavior that can occur. So these nations that plot in vain, so we have continued with that sinful nature. We're not immune, are we? We continue the same kind of behaviors that these nations and their people have in our lives. And we have the same sinful nature that desires autonomy from God, independence from God. So it's bad news that we must confront. We have a rebellious nature. As Christians, you know, it says for all have sinned. All have fallen short of God's glory. The problem is we've learned, at least I have often in church, I hide my sin better, right? Oh, I'm pretty good, so I'll just hide this sin or this. We're good at hiding sin, the rebellious nature. We understand enough that we like to maybe cover it up more. I know that others do too, but I'm an expert often at doing that. But it says against the Lord. Oh, sorry, next one. Okay, so the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord, against the anointed one as well. And who would that anointed one be? It's the Lord Jehovah along with his Messiah. That anointed, as many of you probably know, is Mashiach in Hebrew. And then in Greek, what is it? If Lottie knows this, man. Then Nathan, I know, is teaching her some good Greek. Anyone else? What is the Greek word for Messiah? I know some of you know. You're just shy. Oh, any Greek scholars? Christos or Christos, right? And that is the name, the Greek for Messiah. So here they're going against the anointed. And isn't that the way it is? When we look at our sin, actually, it's really indirect rebellion against God. It's a rebellion against what God has ordained for us. It's not just sin for sin, but it's a direct rebellion. And so it's a deliberate plot against the Lord. And this guy, has anyone heard of this guy? Yuval Noah Harari? Some of you have. Okay. He's an advisor for the World Economic Forum, which is a forum, Klaus Schwab. I don't speak good German, but they're a very significant and influential forum throughout the world. And he's written some bestsellers now. I looked up on the Goodreads or Amazon how many books and how many recommendations. There's thousands. So that's a big-time selling book. He says, God is dead. It just takes a while to get rid of the body, okay? And that's, if you look into what he's thinking, he has a lot of this kind of view, a rebellion against God. Oh, it's just in our imagination or something like that. But definitely a rebellion against our Lord and Savior. And then this rebellion, it continues. It gets stronger. It gets more out in the open as the nations conspire and people come together. And they want to throw off the yoke of God's ways. So here we see absolute, outright evil bursting out. And says, let us burst these bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Have you heard that? As you know, maybe you were a teenager. Oh, I don't want to go by my parents' rules. Even as a little kid, right? Rules. Who wants rules? But rules are there for a purpose most of the time. But we see in America, how many Americans do we have here? Okay, a few, okay. And I know it happened in other areas like Europe. I've looked into this, Australia, New Zealand. But the 60s, 1960s, I was born in mid-60s, is a fascinating time. Not only what happened socially, because it was also a spiritual movement, what Satan was doing and what God was doing. And we see here, Frank Sinatra. Who heard of the song, I Did It My Way? Anyone want to sing it for us? Okay, no one wants to sing it. That was a hugely popular song, right? And look, he dressed so nice. He would wear a tie or suit, no long hair. He looked so clean cut. But he was singing one of the most rebellious songs of that time, and it became one of the top hits. And then it came out even more open in the 60s. Guys like John Lennon and the Beatles. Yeah, not one Beatle, many Beatles. And so saying that they were more popular than Jesus. And what happened to John Lennon? I mean, that's a little gruesome, but, you know, he died. How did he die? What's that? Yeah, he was assassinated. And not that necessarily connected, but God sometimes has his way of judgment. We don't know. But anyways, it's sad. Yeah. These guys started clean cut and all, and then the 60s, you know, the hippie generation, anti-war movement, and then also free love. Oh, free love. We can, you know, we don't need marriage, or if we do, we can have multiple partners and all this great stuff and have fun together. What did that cost? Throwing off the yoke of those bonds. It resulted in terrible tragedy, at least in America, and I know other countries as well. Terrible breakdowns of marriage, infidelity, affairs, you know, kids neglected, more abortions, just terrible, terrible things. And that's just the very beginning. We could go on for hours about that. But so that's our rebellious heart, and we're not immune as well. And the rebellion, it perceives God's authority as oppressive. Yeah, I don't want to be bound by these religious ideas, especially Christian ideas of what is right and what is wrong. Okay, really it's, I don't want to be accountable to the very God who created me and knows the best way for me to live. George MacDonald, has anyone heard of George MacDonald? He's not related to McDonald's hamburgers that I know of. He was a simple, unknown minister in the UK, in England, I believe. And he wrote many amazing like some novels and some fantasy books, and he was a preacher. And not hardly anyone knew about him till later, I think, either at the end of his life or maybe after he passed away. But C.S. Lewis says, that was one of my greatest mentors, and he had never even met him. And he said, the principle of hell is summed up as, I am my own. I am my own. I define who I am. What a rebellious way to live. But we like to live that way, right? Because we don't live according to the master's way. And we lived in various parts of Asia through the years, and we often ask people about, what do you believe? I believe in myself, right? Isn't that a big line? We heard a lot of that in Taiwan, in China, probably in Hong Kong. I believe in myself. That's all I have to believe in. Or, well, 靠自己, huh? I trust, I rely on myself. So it's sad the way that we deal with this. The Heavenly Father has these bonds to protect us, to care for us. But we want to throw off the what we consider shackles. And what's God's perspective from all this? What does he do? I just love this. He's on his throne, and he says, he sits in the heavens, and he laughs. Wow, that's amazing. He laughs at all this. The Lord holds them in derision. So I just picture that so well. He's up in the heavens, looking down, he sees every single person he's ever created before, and also present and in the future. He knows everything, and he laughs. It's like, what are you guys doing, huh? Have you ever just, we have four children. Now they're adults, so they don't throw as many tantrums. But, you know, some of you have had kids, and they throw tantrums, maybe as adults too, I don't know. We remember those days when they'd throw this tantrum, and they have no concept of any logic when they throw these tantrums. They're so out of control. And I imagine that's the way God is looking at this. What on earth? You guys are, you know, how can you think this way? How can you act this way? I don't remember many of my tantrums because I think I was a pretty good kid, you know. But I do remember my mom telling me this, and I think I blocked it out of my mind because I don't like to face my own sins. But, you know, I was only probably 4 or 5. But she said one day, I was throwing a tantrum, and I got so upset at her, as some of you might have done. Okay, get out the bag, pack your stuff, I'm leaving. I'm leaving at 4 or 5 years old. I know how to rely on myself. So I don't know how long I was gone, probably just a few minutes. Coming back, I don't know. But I know my mom, years later, I just imagine her, what she was doing. She was trying really hard not to show she was laughing. And she was actually in her heart, she thought this is one of the most ridiculous, stupid things, you know, to see. But I enjoy the humor of it, right? So this kind of response of God, he's like, just so sad. My created beings want to throw off what I use to try to care for them and protect them. But he's unshaken, he's calm, he's sovereign. He reigns above this human chaos. Okay, here we go. Have to work on my poses here. Did I go past? Oh yeah, that's right. Wow, what do you know? Okay, so what does God do as he's on the throne? He's looking down. He speaks to them in his wrath. He's angry too, right? He's a God not just of love, he's a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. In fact, that's all part of true love, right? And he is sad about it too. But he terrifies them in his fury, and he says, I have a different plan. You're not part of my plan, and you're not cooperating in my plan. So, his plan is revealed more and more in this passage, and in some of the other prophetic literature in the Old Testament. So rebellion against God is not ignored. He doesn't just look away, but he also deals with it like a good parent, right? I guess these days it's harder to spank your child. You might get in trouble by the authorities. But I started behaving a lot better after I got spanked, you know. So God's his wrath and his discipline is for a reason too, because he does care. And Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So here we hear a bunch of bad news. Oh my, we're in trouble. We've done a lot of bad stuff. And that's part of it. Part of our life, in our life as sinners, is hearing the bad news. We don't like to hear it. We try to think, oh, you know, we believe in heaven, but no, we don't believe in hell. I'm going to heaven. Anyone can go to heaven, but we can't talk about hell. We can't talk about terrible judgment. But fear in the face of God leads to repentance for some people who are willing to listen to his word. And so then we see this is God's plan to establish his king. It says, I have set my king on Zion. So this is the Lord Jehovah speaking. He's setting his king on Zion. What is Zion? Anyone? Looks like a cool place. I want to go there. Zion, as some of you know, is Jerusalem, right? That was the Davidic capital that God set for David as the king of Israel. And so David's probably writing this passage or this psalm. It's hard to know, but probably. So he's speaking maybe for himself, but he's also doing something about the future kingdom as well, the eternal kingdom. And so this Davidic kingdom, this Zion, is not just for Israel, it's for the whole world where this king will reign forever and ever and ever. That's pretty cool. What I wonder why, though, maybe that's part of the reason why Israel is such a hot place politically and socially, and all the nations vying for power there. So people have different opinions about that, but there is a sense where this is not just spiritual, but also this holy hill is also a physical place where the Lord will reign, if you look in Revelation and some other passages. So so he says, he says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So now the Lord said to me, who's speaking? Whoa, I thought Jehovah, the Lord God, was speaking. Now it looks like this king who will reign is speaking, right? He says, the Lord said to me implying the Messiah, the anointed one, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So that's part of the coronation. Today I've begotten you. Today I have anointed you. A reminder, too, of King David when he was anointed by Samuel to be the king to lead Israel. And then God has great plans. It's not just for this short time. This is a forever kingdom. It's just the beginning when David was writing about that. It was already planned by our amazing God. Okay, so this king will not just reign over Jerusalem, but he'll reign over the whole world. Revelation is an amazing book. Has anyone ever read the whole book of Revelation? Okay, good. There's a blessing for that, for reading it. So you've been blessed. Who else? Anyone else want to be blessed? You can start reading it today and then finish it by tomorrow. You'll be blessed. It's true. But it's an amazing book, sometimes a little hard to understand. But it says in Revelation 21, 2 through 3, the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven where God's eternal kingdom is established. That's going to be an amazing time, the new Jerusalem, the reign of our Messiah. Not just the Messiah of the Jews, of the Jewish people, but the Messiah of all people. And so God's plan, I think God knows by as we read through this that I think he knows what he's doing more than I do, right? He's the one who created us. He's the one who gives us boundaries because he loves us like a good father. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. So this passage of Scripture really encouraged me the last few days. And then let's look beyond. Okay. So we have the Messiah's divine authority over all nations. How can we be, when I was a kid there was a song, I don't want to be a casual Christian. Well, it sort of rhymes, casual Christian, you know, has a little tune to it. But that really hit me. It was a little bit of a corny song, but I was like, wow, I don't want to be a casual Christian. Knowing God's word, how he's moved in my life through his word that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is real and living because it's him who's speaking these words to us. I don't want to do that. And so we belong, all of us here, to God's universal kingdom. If you're a believer, you're part of his kingdom. Is that the best news ever? Eternal kingdom. He chose you before you were even born. He said, hey, I want you to be part of my kingdom, and you and you. And yet somehow in that whole idea, he gives us a kind of way to not fully choose him, but to go along with his plans, to move along with his plans. Matthew 28:18, the Messiah declares, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that's the Messiah. And do you think that troubles the kings and the leaders of the world? When you hear someone saying that, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me? That's a powerful statement. No wonder also the leaders are trying to throw off the bonds and throw off what God's plans are, right? They rebel. We desire in our sinful state power. We want to be famous. We want power. We want money. It's all about wanting, wanting, wanting. When I was a little boy, at Christmas time, it's too bad. We didn't have video of this. But back in those days, you know, I'm pretty old now. But my mom recorded a cassette tape and things we were getting for Christmas. And we were opening the packages and I heard my little high-pitched voice. And every other, like, 10 seconds, I was saying, what do I get? What do I get? It's like, okay, yeah, I'm a sinner. I didn't think I was a sinner, you know, that young, but I really was. So selfish, so much just thinking about my own life. But then Matthew 28:19-20 also calls us to join in with this kingdom, to join in the kingdom business, right? We're created to be a part of this kingdom, and we're created to do the kingdom work along with our Savior and Messiah. And that's to make disciples of all nations. Is my wife back yet? She's probably still sharing. Pray for the guy in your heart right now. I know she's sharing the Lord right now. Okay, so how about us? Is a fellowship, as individuals, but also the fellowship of God. Are we living in submission to the King who reigns over all the earth? This is amazing talk, isn't it? This is revolutionary. Will you join his mission? It's so exciting to see, hear what God's doing here for Christmas giving and supporting ministries here in Hong Kong and beyond, doing things internationally, and to see all of you coming from various countries. We're a body of Christ, and we're part of the same kingdom. It's amazing to be a part of that, and it's a joy for me to be here today. Look at now what we see. the king and his universal rule. Now he's saying, ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Okay? So the Lord is saying this to his chosen one, his anointed one, and this is our heritage too, to see more lives coming into this kingdom who have an eternal life with the living Lord and brothers and sisters forever. What can be better than that kingdom? I guess you could say I'm an American patriot. I love America. And I'm proud to be an American, but you know what? This is much better. This is so great that we're a part of this kingdom. Do I hear an amen? Any countries that do amen more? okay, so then he's still, the Messiah has full power, the God of judgment. And these people who go against God will be in trouble. And so it says, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. That sounds so easy, right? It's just like too easy for him. You know, we try our best. If we would be in a fight or something, it'd be, at my age, I couldn't fight anyone, you know. Kid kicks me in the shins and I'd run off and go hide in a corner or something. But listen to this Savior of ours. He doesn't mess around. And he doesn't mess around with our lives too. His justice is perfect and rebellion will not go unpunished. And so, you know, that's another thing. When we're sharing the gospel about our Savior, it's hard for us to share the negative, about punishment or justice, right? It's hard to say, well, God's going to judge you. But sometimes, often, we need to do that more than we do. We want to please people, and we don't want to offend, and we want them to know about God's love, for sure. But I know for me, I have a challenge sometimes sharing, well, God is going to judge you, too. You know, you will be judged by the living Lord. Because people are rebellious. They don't like to hear that. But this will happen as well. God is a God of judgment. And he can't not judge for these things. So the truth challenges us to submit to his rule, find comfort, but also share the hope and also the challenges of not believing. So, as we're getting near the end here, this is a warning. God is always giving us a lot of grace. He doesn't just warn and then, you know, he has a lot more grace than us, a lot more grace than I do. He's a lot more gentle and merciful than I am in dealing with people. But he still will judge. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I love how he uses serve the Lord with fear. Also some, the serve in the Hebrew and the worship the Lord is very similar and works together. So some interpret this worship the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I like that. Rejoice with trembling. We find our greatest joy when we're in awe of our majesty, our majestic king. That's when we find we're submitted to him. You know, talk of submission these days is also a bad word. Submit. Submit to each other. Submit to this person. Submit to your authorities. We don't like to hear that because we're rebellious. But when we submit in the proper way, God gives us joy and blessing. And then humility is needed as we hear God's word. Right? As we hear these warnings and we hear the judgments, we need to be humble. It's only when we are humble are we willing to listen to God's word. So then, the final verse here, I love this. Kiss the Son. I really like that, the way it's written here. Kiss the Son. Christy's not here, so I'll tell you, I like to kiss my wife. And so, but then when I think of this, no, that's a different kind of kissing, right? This kind of kissing was a kind of submitting to the rulers, to the emperors. Various ways to show the kissing. Maybe it would be kissing their feet. Maybe it would be kissing a signet ring that they had. Maybe it'd be a tap on the cheek or somewhere, I don't know. Maybe it'd just be a kneeling, like in China, the kuto, huh? Knock your head. How do you say it? Kowtow is the English. We have the English word for kuto from the Chinese. So, but it's a way to show our allegiance and our submission to him. And then when we do that, when we kiss the king, what am I doing? Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. Saving me, all right. We're blessed when we take refuge in him. You know Bob Dylan? Does anyone know Bob Dylan? He's an old man now. He was a big folk singer in the 60s and 70s. Very, very popular at one time. But now he's probably, you know, over the hill, I'm sure. But anyway, he had some interesting music. I love this one. He sang a song called You Gotta Serve Somebody. You may serve the devil or you may serve the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. But it's a binary choice. We like to say, oh, we have many choices. We have many choices to go to heaven or to do this or that. But in this situation of salvation and allegiance, it's a binary choice. And lately, one church that our Julie and Ella, who are visiting here today, they're studying Mandarin in Taiwan with us. They've been learning about how to share the gospel using two ways to live. And I heard Nathan, you guys are maybe doing some of that too, right? And it talks about two ways to live. There's really only two ways to live if we're believing Scripture. One is King Me. That's the little guy. And then there's living under the Messiah. Really, when we're sharing, that's a great opportunity to be very firm. These are the only two ways to live our lives. So who is this king? I think you probably know, right? I tried to say Messiah the whole time, or Christ, or the Anointed One. But who is it? Yeah, A plus, okay? We got that one all right. This king is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the best news. So we find his prophecy revealed fully in Luke. Not fully because we'll see later what happens to him, but we see in Luke, we see who this Messiah is. So Gabriel's message to Mary, we already read that. But you will conceive in your womb and you'll bear a son and his name will be called Jesus. Yaso, Yesu, you know, they all sound sort of similar, right? I forgot Cantonese. Huh? Yeso. Oh, similar to Yaso is Taiwanese and Yesu and, yeah. Beautiful name. The name above all names. And what does Jesus mean? What's the name in the Hebrew? God with us. Yeshua, isn't it? Right? Nathan studied probably Hebrew longer than I did. And he's a little wiser here. But is it Yeshua, Nathan? Yeah. Okay. So the Lord saves, right? The Lord saves. What a great name for him. And he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And they'll give him the throne of his father David. Isn't that amazing? This beautiful prophecy, prophetic Psalm 2, and then we see it fleshed out with the birth of Jesus here. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And all his kingdom, there will be no end. Are you happy to be part of this kingdom? It's the best, isn't it? Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but this one is forever. And we're servants in this kingdom. We get to serve the Lord and serve each other in this amazing kingdom. So Mary trusted God's plan and submitted to His will. Mary is amazing, isn't she? We don't worship her as some people do, but she was an amazing young lady, young girl of faith. And oh, how I could be more like her in my faith. And part of it was she submitted to God's will. And you see that in Psalm 2. You see she was blessed because at the end of that Psalm 2, she was one of those submitting to the will of God, to God's way. So, how about you today? What's the challenge in your life to submit to this king like Mary, finding joy and blessing? Isn't it better if we submit and we go His way than go ours? But we're prone to wonder, right? We need God's Spirit in our lives powerfully every day. We need it. We're too weak on by ourselves. I'm too frail. I need God's Holy Spirit in me. I need the body of Christ encouraging me. I need to encourage the body of Christ to serve, find out how God wants you to serve. We're part of this kingdom. Let's live it now, right? And so in that we find joy and blessing. And here's the words of Mary. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The beautiful submission that she was probably only 14 or 15, I'm not sure, but probably pretty young. And she has this heart already for submitting to God. So what is God speaking to us this morning as we is He's calling us to be a part of His kingdom and grow in His kingdom, be more discipled, serve. What is He saying we need to submit to more this Christmas? What's your Christmas gift to the Lord in your spirit? Maybe be praying about that. Every year when our kids were young, they'd say, Dad, let's just open the presents. No, you have to go through. We have like 10 traditional things. I add one each year, so by now you're 15 and we have about 20. But one we never stopped, besides the pickle. No, we don't. We've only done that twice. One we never stopped was having them write, what gift will you give to Jesus, this Christmas? And when they were young, so sweet, my heart. So that's what we need to give, right? But what part of your heart? Our heart's complex, but be praying about that for your Christmas gift to Jesus. So as we close right now, one last thing, that little baby Jesus, it's not just this little baby humbly born in the manger, that was so precious, and He still is humble. He came to poor parents. But what did he become? He became the amazing Son of God. Well, He was already the Son of God, but He came to this earth and He was persecuted. And he was put on the cross and He was risen again. But He didn't do it just for, quote, good guys like us or so-and-so and so-and-so. He did it for those raging against Him, hating Him, spitting in His face. He did it for all of us because we're all like that, whether we believe it or not. We're the raging against Him. And He did it. He sacrificed His love because He loved us so much. And so what a great day to be thankful. The second day of Advent here, right? If you are also a traditional celebrator of Advent. But let's be mindful of who our Lord and Savior is. He didn't just stay in the manger. He grew up and He was put on the cross and then He rose again. the power of the resurrected Lord. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we come, we worship you, the mighty King, the humble King, the King who is the King of the greatest kingdom forever and ever. And we come also, we seek to come with the heart of Mary, who gave herself, submitted herself to you, and let us echo her words, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Lord, may we do this humbly and joyfully, and may you energize us, and may your spirit be strong in our hearts this day and the rest of the week and onward, serving you. In your name we pray these things. Amen.